Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endure forever. We can just shout amen and go home right there. Amen. Thanks. Hey, that said it all. Look at verse 4. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endure forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endure forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endure forever. To him that made great lights, that's the stars, for his mercy endure forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endure forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endure forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endure forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endure forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endure forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endure forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endure forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endure forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endure forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endure forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endure forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endure forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endure forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endure forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endure forever. Who remembered us in our low estate. Boy, you could circle that one. For his mercy endure forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endure forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endure forever. There it is. There's your thanksgiving right there. Did you notice almost every verse, it was either 26, 36 times, I lost count, but it says, his mercy endure forever. Hey, his mercy is what you ought to be thankful for. Amen. There's several things in that passage I'm going to name real quick. I'm not preaching on, but if you want to write this down, we'll to give thanks for his person, who he is in verses 1 through 3. We'll to give thanks for his power, what he does in verses 4 through 9. Well, to give thanks for his purposes there in verses 10 through 22, what his purposes are. And well, to give thanks for his provision, how he supplies our every need in verses 23 through 26, if you want to write that down. Now turn over to Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. In verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is God. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Didn't he say it? His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Now, there's thanksgiving. That's where thanksgiving originated. It didn't originate with the pilgrims, though they were wonderful people. It didn't originate with a lady that talked Abraham Lincoln into declaring it a national holiday, though it was a wonderful thing, and she was a wonderful woman, and he was a wonderful man. It did not originate with the U.S. government giving it a day of the week, one time a year, a national holiday. That's not where it came from. It came from the Word of God. And listen, someone once said this. I read it the other day. The loveliest flower in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. Think about that. And then listen to this. Somebody else said this. When gratitude dies on the altar of a person's heart, they are well nigh gone. An ungrateful wretch is almost in the grave. They might as well already be there. Amen? Because they won't live long. Hey, thankful people have long lives. Thankful people are blessed. People have gratitude are good people, and everybody likes them. Unthankful people, ingratitude is an ugly thing. Amen? Amen. I remember we used to have bus routes, and we'd give them candy and stuff, you know. And Billy used to go with me sometimes, and I'd always carry a bunch of candy. And I'd knock on the door, and kid'd come to the door, and I'd give him some candy. They'd say, "Ooh, I don't like that kind. Give me another." I just want to say, "Shut up. Let me slap you." What you should have done is looked up there and said, "Thank you, preacher. You give me some candy. And if you don't like it, give it to somebody else. You'll just thank God you got something." Amen. Boy, there's a lot of adults like that today that we live in. Hey, ungrateful, unthankful, and that leads to unholy. We got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? I know I do, and I know you do. Some people just don't know they do. Amen? If you count your blessings and name them one by one, you'll see that you ought to be thankful. Amen? Listen, if you got a roof over your head, you'll thank God. You got clothes on your back, you'll thank God. You got food in your belly, you'll thank God. Hey, you got shoes on your feet, you'll thank God. Hey, you didn't come from where some of us come from, or you'd be thankful. Amen? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 1 real quick. Romans chapter 1. All the trouble started in people's lives in Romans chapter 1. If you've got trouble, if you've got a lot of trouble, and I'm not talking about the workings of God and the providence of God, but I mean trouble you bring it on yourself. Here's where it started. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were," can y'all say it with me, "thankful." Now, if you got a Bible that doesn't say that, you need to buy you a King James Bible. Amen. "But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became," what? "Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." You see that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change natural use in that which is against nature, and likewise also the men. And leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one to another, men with men, working which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the just recompense of their error, which was meet. And even," look at this, "even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." That means they can't believe nothing now. "To do those things which are not convenient." All trouble in mankind's life begins with unthankfulness. A disobedient child starts with unthankfulness. A disobedient church member starts with unthankfulness. A disobedient citizen of the United States starts with unthankfulness. Come on. Help me here. I didn't get on your foot, did I? Amen. Because I don't aim for toes. I aim for feet. Listen, I'm telling you, unthankfulness, ungratefulness leads to so many other things. Well, thank God. If you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell today. But thank God, His mercy endureth forever. Amen? Amen. Now, here's some things that the Bible teaches us about thankfulness. Mankind is not thankful by nature. It's not in the nature to do that. Now, by nature, I mean this. You throw a duck in water, and by nature, he does what? He swims. You throw a cat in water, and by nature, they claw. They have to learn how to swim real quick because it's not their nature to be in water. Amen? And listen, by nature, according to Romans 5:12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men for all have sinned." By nature, we were born children of disobedience. We were born that way. Lady Gaga's right. She was born that way. She's born a stinking sinner. Amen. It wasn't a good thing she was born into. It was a bad thing. And so by nature, we are not thankful. You take you put two or three little kids in a room together, 2 or 3 years old, 5 years old, they'll fight and fuss over every little thing. That's mine. I had it first. Fuss and fight and claw, because by nature they are sinners. Romans chapter 7, Apostle Paul said it himself. He said, that which I would do, I do not. He said, but that which I would not, that I do. He said, because I find a law in me. You know what that is? That's the law of sin and death, he says. And that's born in us. And that's why the Bible says, don't spare the rod for as much crying. Whip him. Whip him. And you have to drive it out of them sometimes. Some kids are so hard-headed, Brother David, you got to whip them. Some of them, you can look at them and say, I'm going to whip you, and that's all you'll have to do. Man, they'll just break down. But others, they'll stand there, and why are you whipping them? They'll stand there. Because it's their nature. It's our nature. We were born. You don't have to teach a kid how to lie. He already knows how. You got to teach him not to lie. Come on. That's why nobody wants to be a parent anymore. They thought it was easy because their parents did such a good job. They don't remember how hard work it was for mom and dad to make them into what they are today. And they were unthankful, and therefore their children will be unthankful, and the next generation will be unthankful. And we've got a nation full of unthankful, ungrateful people. Instead of looking up to heaven and say, thank God, there are some Christians came over here one day and got down their knees and prayed and asked God to give them some land where they could worship Him in spirit and truth and not be persecuted or killed or burned at the stake. And God gave them this land, and they got along with the Indians. By the way, there was room enough for both. There was room enough for both. It wasn't until greed and all that got into it that the wars and the fighting started. Amen. Amen. But the real ones like us that came, they could have got along with them. And listen, so they'll take Thanksgiving, they'll turn around and make it into something ugly because they're not thankful for what God's done for us. I remember when I was a little kid in school, I didn't know. We learned Thanksgiving in school. Didn't you? You don't hear much of that now, but not much. And I remember we had to wear those little hats. We had to wear the little black vest and white shirt. Y'all remember that? And they'd usually have a little play about Thanksgiving. And you'd have a Christmas play. Now they have winter plays. Winter. But listen, by nature, we're children of wrath. It's not natural to be thankful. We have to teach that. That's why the pastor has such a hard time with church members. They wasn't raised to be thankful for what they got. So they get mad here and go over yonder, and they get mad here and they go over yonder, and they get mad here and they go over yonder. They ain't never thankful for the good things. They only find something to complain about. Y'all got it? That's why our nation's falling apart. They didn't put the president in that I wanted, so I'm going to burn something up. I'm going to break a window. I'm going to steal something. I'm going to shoot somebody. Unthankful, undoubted. Thank God they live in a nation where they got the opportunity to vote, even if they lost their vote. I am. When presidents get in, there's been several of them since I've been living that I didn't like. I didn't burn nothing up. I didn't break nothing up. I didn't tear nothing down. I didn't get me a sign. I said, well, we'll just endure till the next time. And maybe something good will come out of it. I don't know. But I was just thankful I live in a country where I can vote. Amen. Boy, thankfulness. Listen, here is how to have a thankful heart. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at it with me. Look at verse 17. Are you thankful this morning? I am. Amen. James chapter 1. Look at verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from where? And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. You can always count on Him. Neither shadow of turning. He ain't changing his mind tomorrow. Here's how to have a thankful heart. Did you know our first house that we bought over in Rocky Homes, I think those houses about 890 square feet, little box, you know. But I'd never owned a house. Mom always rented a house. They were usually not that warm and not that nice, you know, but good enough. Good enough. And we bought that little house. And I was so happy to be buying a house. If I remember right, Terry, I think the house payment was $154 a month. Not even that. $125. Sometimes couldn't even make those. But I was so happy to have a house. And I'll never forget. We had a heater. If y'all ever lived in those houses over there, you know, they got cement floors, hard tile on them, cold. Our kids run around with knots on their heads that big around where they'd fall off the couch, fall off the bed. If they lived today, we'd be charged for child abuse, you know. And the heater was in the hall. You go down the hall, they had a little place in the hall like this little cubby hole cut out, and your oil heater was in there. Now, it's in a box. I don't know how they thought the heat was going to get out of that box there and go through the rest of the house, and it didn't real well. And but we had kerosene heater. Kerosene heater. They run on kerosene. Y'all remember kerosene? And there wasn't nothing said about global warming. Amen? Kerosene. And it was cheap at that time, but as time went on, it got expensive. But the house wasn't always... You kind of had to be close to the heater, you know. And sometimes it got to the point where we couldn't afford to fill up that big old oil tank with oil. It cost $200 to fill that thing up. Well, that's a lot of money. And so we'd have a few gallons put in. The least a man would come out and deliver. And then sometimes we couldn't even do that. So these new things came out called kerosene heaters. Y'all remember them? That was a curse on mankind. They come out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We can't afford to keep that big old... And by the way, that oil heater put out, it burnt some oil, you know, 5 gallons a day or more. You know, it's burning up. I said, we'll just get some of those... So we got some kerosene heaters, and then we'd have to block off the hall with a blanket, you know, or y'all remember those days? You had to close off rooms and everything. Everybody huddle up in one room, try to stay warm. Then the mildew built up behind the furniture in the other room because of the moisture. Y'all remember that? My house smelled like bleach one time so bad. But the mildew would build up. How many of y'all remember that? Raise your hand. Some of y'all ain't never lived. Amen. And never forget one night, I think it was Charity came in there and woke us up and told us something was wrong or something in the living room. So I went there and looked in that kerosene heater. It had this little thing. It had to drop on it. It would heat that thing. It was jacked up and the living room was full of smoke. We'd have died of carbon monoxide poisoning if that baby hadn't come in there and told us. But then I remember getting in the house we're in now, and we moved in that thing, and it had central heat. Central heat. Every room, the same temperature. And it had central air. The only air we had was one little old air conditioner stuck in a window in that other house. It'd cool off one room if you closed off the rest of the house. Got central air. I said, man, we are uptown. You ain't never seen a man more thankful for central heat than this man right here. I can live without the air. I can, but I can't live without the heat. And my babies, they get coughs and colds and bronchitis and everything else from them old kerosene heaters, you know, and all that stuff. We'd take them to the doctor, coughing and hacking. Thank God for central heat. I am a thankful man when it comes to central heat now. Then I'm going to tell you something else. I found an old rug somewhere. Somebody gave it to us or something. I put in the living room in that old house up there. And I didn't. I was 20-something years old. What do I know? So I just rolled it out, you know, big old rug, rolled it out, cut it around the walls. I didn't know you were supposed to nail it down or nothing, you know. Felt pretty good. But then we moved in that other house and had carpet in it. Took my shoes off. Amen. Go barefooted. Still do. Better not preach like that. I'll preach all day. Listen, we moved in that house. We had that carpet and all that stuff. And listen, I just reached down there and I'd rub it between my fingers. Carpet. Glory to God, carpet. My mama wouldn't know what to think about carpet. And now people live in the lap of luxury and have no thankfulness. And are in, hey, they're unthankful and they're ungrateful. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. You'll thank God for what you got. You say, preacher, I ain't got no carpet. Get you a rug. Well, you get rugs. Put them at the foot of the bed. Get off on that rug. Hey, you ought to be thankful you got somewhere to live. Some people don't. You ought to be thankful you got heat. Some people don't. You ought to be thankful that you got a floor to walk on. Some people walking on dirt. Amen. And hey, listen, we live in a rich part of the country. Some of you people need to visit the hills of Virginia, West Virginia. You'd sure be thankful then. Amen. Some of you need to go to lower South Carolina where a bunch of them still got tin roofs and they got a wood-burning stove to heat and cook on. It's still around. There's still a few that the bathroom is out at the end of a path behind the house. You ever had one of them? I know you have. You're a hillbilly. Amen. Appalachian American. I'm sorry. Appalachian American. Hey, you better thank God for what you got. Hey, look here, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 20. I got to hurry. Ephesians 5:20. Listen, he says, give thanks always for what? For all things. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to be thankful for. All things in the name of Jesus Christ. There's two things in there if you didn't notice. Number one is creation. He made it all. We read it in Psalms. He made it all. Well, thank God for it. Did you know, ask some of these people that didn't come from here. We live in probably one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Why do you think they come visit and they never leave? Used to be I could go from that side of town, that side of town, just a couple minutes. Now it takes me 30 minutes to get from my house uptown. Traffic. They didn't teach me how to drive up north. I don't know what happened. It's awful. It's awful. Traffic. Oh, hey, if I wasn't a preacher, I don't know what I'd do. I'd go up through there with my teeth gritting now. I sit through a stoplight three times and I say, this is a waste of my life. I'm sitting through a stop sign, stoplight three times. So that traffic can ease through, ease through. I threaten all the time. I tell my wife, I said, we're going to move to Kershaw. They got two stoplights. No four lanes. They ain't but 1,200 people live there. Don't be doing that. I might do it. But we'll be thankful, number one, for all of creating. I ain't going to Bone Town. They're bad. Did you know he created everything we have? I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. You're a fool. You're a fool. You're dumber than a box of rocks. If you've got anything, it came from the Father above. You could, hey, you could be living over there in a nursing home right now, out of your mind. You'll thank God. Well, I don't have central heat. I just got a heater. You'll thank God you got a heater. Go over to Pakistan, see what they heat with. A pile of brush in the middle of the floor and they got a hole in the roof to let the smoke out. Yeah. Amen. Let Cheryl tell you about some of her trips over there. Listen, you ought to thank God for everything he does for you. I go out in my front yard sometimes. I got these big oak trees in my yard. I say, thank God for these trees. They're probably over 100 years old. I can't reach around them. They're so big. And I say, thank God for that tree. I don't worship the tree. I worship the creator of that tree. I was sitting there talking on the phone to Suzanne or Becky yesterday, and I was looking out the window, and the wind was blowing up on top of those trees. Y'all know that wind come up, you know? And as it was blowing, all those trees was raining leaves. It looked like it was snowing out there. There were so many leaves coming down. And I said, Becky, it looks like it's snowing in my front yard. These beautiful leaves falling. Now, I got to cut them up later because I don't rake. I cut. I ride my lawnmower over them, chop them up. I got over at raking a long time ago. But, hey, I thank God I got trees that shed leaves. I could be living in Saudi Arabia somewhere and trying to hide under one palm tree within 10 miles. Amen? We'll thank God for His creation. By the way, He made you. Quit griping about it. And He made me. Don't tell me. Well, you know, you say, how you doing? Some people, you say, how you doing? And then they say, well, you know, my back hurts, my head hurts, that hand you're shaking hurts, and my feet hurt, and my eyes hurt, and my head hurts, and I want to just say, shut up and thank God you got a head to hurt. Amen? Thank God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you're to praise God. Well, I wish I was taller. Well, when you get to heaven, tell Him that. Until then, thank God you are what you are by the grace of God. Listen, we put too much emphasis on that stuff. Hollywood, television. Let me tell you something. Those people ain't happy. And if you live your life on beauty, you're vain. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to always look like that. Gravity will take over. I got bags under my eyes. How long you been living? 60 years? You ought to have bags under your eyes, you big dummy. Well, I'm going to go get some plastic surgery. Just put a plastic bag over your head and get over with it. They're not going to fix it. You fix the face, the belly's going to fall. Another thing we ain't even mentioned. Amen, man. We stand in front of us men, we stand in front of me and say, what a man. Good God. And then we go. You women stand and say, does this look fat? No, it makes you look healthy. You look healthy. Thank God you live in a country where you can get fat. Supposed to be a blessing, not a curse. Sit down. They'll come Thanksgiving. Well, I can't eat too much of this. I'm on a diet. Eat it and thank God for it. Gain 10 or 15 pounds. Say, thank God I can gain 10 or 15 pounds. But has to take medicine to gain weight now. Amen? Thank God. Listen, we'll look at creation, number one, and then we'll look at redemption. Everything. In our redemption, we're bought with a price. We're bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're bought by His death and His burial and the resurrection. A high price was paid for you. You've been paid for by the blood, by the death, by the burial, by the resurrection. You've been bought and paid for. You ought to thank God for that redemption. It's gotten in the Christian day and in church. A lot of times I'm scared to talk to people. They wear a chip on their shoulder. And most of it comes from jealousy and ingratitude. And every little feeling, oh, they hurt my feelings. Well, if you was thanking God like you ought to, feelings wouldn't come in too much. I better get off it. I can tell by looking at some of you now. You already get mad. Listen, here's how you be thankful in Psalm 100. Go back there. Go back to Psalm 100 and look at verse 4 and 5 again. I got 2 minutes. Psalm 100. You ought to be thanking God you got a preacher that's got enough to say he can preach overtime. A lot of them get up and read a stupid little book report now that they got from headquarters. Amen. Psalm 100. Look at verse 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generation. Did you know that if you'll start thinking thankful, you'll be thankful? Here's your problem. You got stinking thinking. Start thinking, hey, if you, and by the way, if you live down south, it rhymes, thinking thankful. But for you folks who don't understand that, thinking thankful. If we'll start thinking thankfully, instead of finding something wrong with everything, find the good in things. Instead of finding a curse, find a blessing. Amen. Amen. And listen, the more you think, the more you'll think. See, you're not thinking about you and your situation. You're watching that guy on television who's got things you ain't got and doing things you ain't getting to do, or she's getting surgery you can't get, or they have a bank account you'll never have. Instead of thinking about what you have, you get your eyes on them, and that's called covetousness. And that leads to stinking thinking. So you're not going to be happy with what God has given you because you want what they have. And here's a popular phrase now, it ain't fair. It ain't fair. She's got that and I don't. He's got that and I don't. Well, God ain't always fair. He ain't. He don't always give everybody the same thing. But you'll thank God for what He does give you. And you know what? If you'll thank God for what He does give you, you'll look at what He gives somebody else and says, praise the Lord, Billy, He gave you that. Some people's afraid to buy a new car, and come to church because they'll think other people think bad about them and going to talk bad about them buying a new car. You think I'm telling a lie? No, I'm telling the truth. They're afraid to buy a new car. They could afford it, but they won't because they think people down at church are going to say they're showing off. If one of you drive up in a new car, I'll say, thank God He gave you a new car. I pick on David about his car all the time. I asked him this morning, I said, did you drive the convertible? He said, yeah. I said, you put the top down? He said, not yet. May do it this afternoon. Thank God He can have one. Amen. Thank God He's that good to him. I got a car. I don't need a car. Thank God He's got one. Amen. Well, praise God for everything He does for everybody else and thank Him for what we got too. Amen. I wish He'd give you all a raise. Amen. I wish he'd make you all rich. Maybe then you'd put something in the building fund. We could build a new building. We got the money. Y'all got it. Y'all got the money. The trouble is, it's still in your pocket. It needs to go right there. It's still in your pocket. Amen? Amen. But hey, thank God if you got it. I'm not going to be jealous of what He's done for you because He's done so much for me. If He didn't do anything else, He's been a lot better to me than what I deserve. I sure don't want what I deserve, buddy. I'd be in a world of trouble. You're thinking about your life, your health, your finances, your food. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your salvation. You're thinking about your situation. You're thinking about your church. You're thinking about your eternal destiny. You ought to be thanking God. You ought to be jumping pews right now. If some of you wasn't so reserved, you'd be running the aisles right now. Amen. You're just scared of what people think about you. That's all. That's stinking thinking again. Amen. You'll just praise God. Thank Him for what He's done for you. You say, preacher, I ain't never been poor like what you're talking about. You ought to thank God for that. Don't look down on people for their situation. Thank God for your situation. You know, people just... And again, it's our society. It's not you. It's our society. And they teach us to be unthankful. And they teach us to be covetous. And they teach us to be greedy. And they teach us to be self-centered. Because our society is not saved. They're natural. They're natural born people. This is what natural born people do. Don't you remember Paul said, and such were some of you? Amen. Don't you remember you used to be like that? Yes. You'll thank God you're not like that anymore. Amen. You've been regenerated when you got saved. You got a new mind when you got saved. You got a new heart when you got saved. You got a new spirit when you got saved. You'll thank God He brought you out of that stuff and then pity people. Amen. That's never had it. My wife and kids make fun of me sometimes. I know y'all don't believe they do that to the pastor, but they do. Matter of fact, they do it a lot. Y'all see me as something they don't see me as. But Suzanne, one of them said one day, said, "Oh my goodness, don't get daddy talking." Said he'll put one of those sad stories right in the middle of it, and said, "If you're feeling good, he'll walk up and listen to you, and he'll say." Wipe that smile off your face. I got something to tell you. One of those sad stories. But they don't know. All that story says, I'm thankful I don't have to live like that anymore. I'm thankful I don't have to be in that condition anymore. My situation has greatly improved. Somebody tell the devil that. I am so thankful it has. Now, do I have everything I want? No, because I'm in the flesh. A lot of times what I want ain't what I need. When you smart Alex got tired of me talking about a Dodge Challenger and bought me a little electric car. Well, I want you to know it still wasn't a Dodge Challenger. It was a Dodge Charger. And I don't like them because they're four doors. You can't have a race car with four doors. You saw. If I ever find out who done that, I'm gonna burn your house down. Listen, I don't always want what I need. Sometimes I want what I don't need. And I want to thank God I don't get everything I want. And you need to teach your children the same thing. And when they get older, they'll look at you and they'll say, Daddy, thank you for not getting me that four-wheeler. I'd be dead like that other 12-year-old boy got killed on a four-wheeler. And some of them will look at you and they'll say, Mama, thank you. You didn't buy me a phone when I was 11 years old. I didn't need a phone. And I would have gotten in trouble on that phone. Don't get quiet now. Amen. I'm thankful he don't give me everything I want. But I'm more thankful he gives me what I need. Did you hear me? I need a Savior. He gave me a Savior. I need salvation. He let me get saved. He didn't have to do that. He let me get saved. Hey, I need a supplier. He's promised to supply all my needs from his riches and glory. He takes care of me. Sometimes I need somebody to whip me. He whips me when I need a whipping. I got materially more than I need. But you know, God blesses his children. God takes care of his children. And I thank God for every trial, and I thank God for every mile, and I thank God for every tribulation. I thank God for the good times as well as the bad times. I do. Now, that don't mean I'd want to go through the bad again, but I thank God I went through the bad. It taught me something. God taught me something. And usually it was to be more thankful. People get out of the will of God because they're not thankful for what they have. And they fall into sin, and God has to whip them and bring them back. But if they get right, they'll fall on their face and say, thank you, God, for whipping me. I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know why I did it, but I did it. And God, thank you for not letting me go. Thank you for keeping me anyway. We're gonna have a turkey dinner at my house, and we're gonna have some dressing, and we're gonna have some boiled eggs, and we're gonna have some green beans, and we're gonna have I don't know what all we're gonna have. We'll have pie and cake and. And I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat till I almost sin, and I'm going to quit right before I sin. Because if you eat till you throw up, you know it's time to quit, amen? But I'm going to eat till I almost sin. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in there on the couch, and we'll have visitors, and they'll probably want to watch football. I don't care nothing about football. I wasn't raised on football. It's just the way I am. If you do, I'm not holding that against you. I just don't. If there's a race on, I'll probably watch it. But if there's a race on by about lap 20, every once in a while I wake up, who's winning? Yeah, if somebody says, there's a wreck. I said, where? Let's rewind that thing. But I'm not going to forget, I'm not living in Afghanistan. I'm not living in Iraq. I'm not living in Nigeria or some weird, wild country who does not know God. So they're not thankful. And I'm not living in some big city where they're against God. And I'm going to thank God I still got a Christian family. And I still got a Christian church. And I still, whether you believe it or not, the elections just prove it, we still live in a majority Christian nation. Haven't I been telling y'all that the whole time? I still believe that the majority of Americans are God-fearing people. I told you they were. And I'm going to thank God for that. I'm going to look at my beautiful wife. She looks just like she did when I met her when she was 15 years old. Fixing to turn 16. My child bride. I was 17. And I'm going to thank God for her. I'm going to look at my beautiful children. I'm going to thank God for every one of them. And I'm going to look at my beautiful grandchildren. I'm going to thank God for every one of them. And I'm going to come to church next Sunday, and I'm going to look at my beautiful church members, and I'm going to thank God for every one of them. Amen. And I'm going to thank God. I want to have a thankful heart. Amen. Yeah. And you don't get that by fussing and fighting with God. You surrender. And when you surrender to Him, you'll learn how to be thankful. He'll put it in your heart. How many prodigal sons have not been thankful for what God gave them and their home and their family and their father and left and went off into an ungodly world and got beat up and hurt and come crawling back home and said, "Daddy, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm thankful for what I've got. I didn't know what I had till I lost." Now, if you're not saved today, if you don't know the Lord, you know He loves you. He loves you just the way you are. Now, He'll change you, but He loves you just the way you are. And He wants to save you. He desires to save you. He's given His greatest, His Son, to die in your place. So you be thankful. Hey, you ought to be thankful for that by receiving His Son as your Savior. And then those of you who are saved, the Holy Spirit might have convicted you today and said you wasn't thankful in this area like you ought to be. There's something the preacher said, the Spirit's moved, the song has moved you. There's something you need to get settled, you need to get this right. And you'll be thankful if you do. You can't live in turmoil. And then there's others, y'all, who are thankful every day. And every day, you like me and my wife, we pray and say, "Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you've done for our children. Thank you for what you're doing for our grandchildren. God, you've been good to us. Thank you." You know, if church members get back to that, our nation would have a revival. Hey, it would be turned completely around if just those who profess faith in Christ would live and talk and walk thankfully. Are you thankful today? Father, you know our hearts.